So that sermon evolved into having a heart for the things of God. Amen. Can everybody say, knowing where your loyalties lie? And say, having a heart for the things of God. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Your heart should be in the right place. Amen. Amen. Can everybody say your heart? Being in the right place. Amen. Amen. That's what we want to deal with this morning, because it is important that a person's heart be into whatever they are into. Otherwise, it won't go right. Otherwise, it won't work out right, because your heart's not in it. And oftentimes our bodies are in places our hearts are absent from. And people have a heart for certain things. People have a heart for certain people. But I'm here to tell you that there's nothing like having a heart for the things of God. And this is so, so critical. And that is why the aim of the sermon is for us to have a blessed heart. A blessed heart. For us to have a blessed heart. Because when you have a heart for the things of God, then you'll have a blessed heart. And when you have that heart that is blessed, you'll get blessed. Amen. When you got the right heart. I don't know if I'm even going to finish this one, but you may remember Simon the sorcerer. In Acts 8:21, he saw them ministering under the power of the Holy Spirit, and he asked the apostles to give him that. But he was a sorcerer. And he says, thy money perish with thee because your heart is not right. You can want some things of God and your heart not be right, and it'll end up not blessing you. You must have a heart that can be blessed. And as we think about that, we want us to understand that David was a man who was loyal to God. David was a man. The good word Bible says that David was a man. It says in Acts 13:22, that'll do everything I want. Amen. The Living Bible says that David was a man who would obey him. We look at the Holman Christian Study Bible, and it says that Acts 13:22 says that David is a man that's loyal to me. And when you're loyal to God, your heart will be in the right place. And that's our goal this morning, is to make sure that our heart is into whatever we are into. Amen. And so, amen. We look at this verse, and what we find out, we want to look at David's comfort. David's comfort. Then we want to see David's conscience. And then we want to see David's concern. But David's comfort, amen. The NIV says that of verse 11 of chapter 5, it says, God had blessed David with a house, but he did it through another king, through a king named Hiram. Hiram, king of Tyre. And verse 5, 2 Samuel 5:11 says us, it identifies that king. And it says that that king, amen, has sent messengers of David along with cedar logs, carpenters, and stonemasons. And they built a palace for David. They built a palace for David. And he got it from someone who was a king of another country. And the Bible tells us that David here has some place, and it says that the Bible tells us why he blessed David, but let's look at the fact that David, amen, was blessed of God, and it says that why did God bless David? In verse 12, we find out of chapter 7 of 2 Samuel that the Bible tells us that God blessed David, you may have overlooked it, for the people's sake. Isn't that interesting? For his people Israel's sake. That is why God blessed this king. It ended up being for his people Israel's sake. Amen. And David wanted, David was blessed. David was in a house. He was in a palace. And it tells us that David was setting in, it came to pass that as David sat in his house, that the Lord had given him rest. He didn't have to worry about his enemies. And notice that he sat in his house, but correct translation of that means his house was a palace. Because that's what they built. That's what the king built for David. David was in a palace of cedar. When you talk about cedar, that was the rarest and most valuable timber. Amen. And it was, according to one commentary, it was of elegance and splendor. It was for his royal mansion. Amen. It was constructed of the finest material. Amen. By the most skillful men and craftsmen, thank you, and the best workers. It had the finest material. But the Ark of God was sitting outside under a curtain. And David, while he was sitting in his own house comfortable, you begin to see that David, began to think about that, about God's work. Isn't that interesting? David says, "Now, I'm doing good. I'm free from my enemies. God has blessed me with the finest house." And he says that he sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies. So he said to Nathan, here we see David's conscience. He says, "See now, amen, I'm dwelling in a house of cedar, but the ark is dwelling in curtains." And David says that there's a serious problem with that. His conscience began to work on him. The Living Bible says, David said to Nathan the prophet, "Look, I'm living in this beautiful cedar palace while the ark of God is out in a tent." He had a pious mind. Amen. That means, amen, that means that you are, it speaks of your religious devotion. David could not stomach it. He did not, although he had it fine, he had it made in the shade, but yet he found out that he was doing better than God was. And so David could not deal with that. He says, I'm in this palace, but God's residence is in a tent, a place covered with animal skin. And I'm not at peace with it. He says, I'm experiencing discomfort. He says, I'm not happy with it. He says, I'm having trouble out of that. I should not be doing better than God. Amen. And when you think about that, you have to realize this morning that God wants us, there's something wrong if you don't have a conscience for the things of God. What was David's concern? David's concern was that ark. Amen. Amen. David's concern was the ark. And that's why the Nathan told him in verse 3, go and do all that is in thine heart. Do all that is in thine heart. What he's saying, David, is that it looks like you have a heart for the things of God. A heart for the things of God. Oh, how important that is to have a heart for the things of God. 1 Kings 8:17 says that it was in David's heart to build a house for God. And God confirmed it. In 1 Kings 8:18, he says that David has a heart for me. And it was in thine heart. He had a heart for the things of God. Do you have a heart for the things of God? Oh, that's when you really, you're not concerned about you. You're concerned and consumed with his things, not your things. I have a heart for the things of God. Now, that was a good, God says it's good that he's like that. Now, that means that that's a validation beyond David. Now, I can tell you David has a heart for the things of God, but when I come along and tell you God said it was good, then that means that God endorsed it and it was right. You know, sometimes we can have a heart for something and it's wrong. David had a heart for the things of God, and what he found out is God came along and said, that's a good thing. I don't know if that make any sense to you, but amen. It's just good to know that God got your back. If he backs it up, if he confirms something that you have, he said, David has a heart. But now God is, he said, now, David, I know you love me, but I can't let you do it. Amen. In verse 11 of 2 Samuel 7, he said, David, I know you love me, and we ain't got time to get into it today, but he said, but I'm going to tell you something, David. I thank you for having that kind of heart. But in verse 11, at the end of it, he says, but what I'm going to do, David, is I'm going to tell thee that tell Nathan, let him know that I'm going to make him a house. Amen. Tell him that I'm going to make him a house. That you tell him he wants to make me a house, but go tell him, Nathan, that I'm going to make him a house. Now, the fact of the matter is that he says in verse 12, when thy days be fulfilled and you're asleep with your fathers, I'm going to set up thy seed after thee. He's talking about Solomon, which shall proceed out of thine own bowels, and I will establish his kingdom forever. Not temporary. God said, you're concerned about me, but I'm going to give you a kingdom forever through one of your children, through your next child. And we could talk about how good God is, because you know who that next child was. That was from Bathsheba. I can't get too deep into that. But God is a mercy. He has to be merciful to bless somebody who did what David did. I can't tell. The truth is, he says, look, he wants to build me a house, but tell him I'm going to build him a house. And what I'm talking about is his progeny. I'm talking about his future family, not just a wooden house, but I'm going to give him a kingdom. Amen. I'm going to bless your children. And he says in verse 15, in verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom, I'm going to give you a whole kingdom, shall be established forever before thee. Ain't that a long time? Tell your neighbor, forever is a long time. I mean, for somebody that wanted to do something that was temporary, God says, since you saw a temporary opportunity, I'm going to give you a permanent blessing for having a temporary opportunity, wanting to do something for me, wanting to build a house for me, because God goes on to talk about it. We didn't got time to get into it. That I don't really live in little houses down there anyway. He said, ain't nobody, you can't build no house big enough for me. But since you had that idea, amen. Now if you hold on, this will bless us. This is going to bless us. Now, the fact of the matter is, now he says that I'm going to bless Solomon. And you know what? The apple don't fall too far from the tree, does it? When you look at 2 Chronicles 1:7, you remember that. You don't even have to turn there. 2 Chronicles 1:7. You find out that David's son, the apple didn't fall too far from the tree. He says, God told Solomon, he says, Solomon, ask for whatever you will. Solomon, I'm gonna give you an opportunity. I'm gonna give you a temporary opportunity to get a permanent blessing. He says that ask for whatever you want, Solomon. Lord have mercy. And see, these folk are not perfect folk. Amen. They were nowhere near perfect. And you wouldn't think God would even use them with their background. But that's... That's the kind of God we serve. He got a prostitute in the genealogy of Jesus. First chapter of the Bible. I know that's hard for us because we want everybody to be so holy. We can't, matter of fact, we can't take nothing less. Folk just got to be so perfect to be around us. When God is using broke people all the time, that's got embarrassing backgrounds. So embarrassing, I can't even repeat it because I see too many kids in here. These backgrounds, anyway, let me go on with my little message. And here's what God told Solomon. He says that, Solomon, ask for what you will. And he says, Solomon asked, we find out what Solomon asked for in verse 10 of 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 10. He says, Solomon says, give me wisdom and knowledge to lead thy people. That was an opportunity. You want what now? I want wisdom and knowledge to lead thy people. You mean it's not about you? He says in verse 11, he came to him of 2 Chronicles chapter 1. He says, since that it was in thine heart, and you didn't ask for riches. I asked you for whatever you wanted. I told you, just ask me for it. You could have asked for somebody to be healed that was sick. You could have asked me for riches. He said, since you didn't ask me for riches, since you didn't ask me for wealth, You didn't ask me for the life of your enemies. You didn't ask me for a long life. Since you didn't ask me for something for you, I guess that's the way I really want to say it. Amen. Amen. That's really what he's saying. He says, since I said 1 Chronicles is 2 Chronicles 1:7, 2 Chronicles 1:10, since you didn't ask for something for you, Solomon, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. Now, I'm going to give you wisdom and I'm going to give you knowledge, but I'm also going to give you riches, wealth. I'm going to give you all those things in addition to you wanting to bless me. I'm going to bless you. Lord, have mercy. What a mighty good God that we serve. Amen, amen, amen. Now, what we find out is that the apple don't fall too far from the tree. We find out that Solomon, too, had a heart for the things of God. Do you have a heart for the things of God? Amen. Or do you have a heart for you? Do you want God to bless you? Do you want God to bless you? Or do you want to bless God? That's a serious question. I'm asking. If you had your way and God could come down right now and say, what do you want? And if you found out that it was something for God and not for you, then that means that you have a heart for the things of God. I done told my stuff. All of y'all got to worship God. I know it don't make sense. And you said, well, preacher, you crazy. And I'm going to say I'm crazy by my own admission. I'm going to admit it. Yeah, I am crazy. I told my necktie. I told my shoes. I told the pencil. I told the paper. I told the lamp at the house. I said, you better come on because I got to prepare a sermon. So I don't want you. I'll throw you in the trash. You better serve the Lord. When I reach for a necktie, you better be there because I got something I got to do that's beyond me. I put them all on notice. And they're all on board with it. The Cardinals, I'll trash you. I will sell you. If you can go places but you can't go to church, I will put you in a salvage yard and you won't be able to be seen no more. I will put another drop of gas in this tank. Everything I got going to serve the Lord. Whether it's got blood in it or not, everything is going to church. Everything is worshiping God. And I done put them all on notice. They all know what time it is. Ain't nothing else going. I'm not up. It's not up for discussion. I know that. I already told you. I'm admitting it. I'm crazy. So I talked to the furniture. And I talked to all of them. I tell you, yeah, you gonna serve the Lord today. And when I reach for a pencil, you better be there because I got to write something. The Lord just told me something. Serve the Lord, pencil. Worship. You don't, I'll trash you. I'll put you in the trash. I'll turn on you. The fact of the matter is that it's not the temporary things, but only what you do for Christ. Why should temporary things have power over permanent things, over permanent blessings? And we need to ask ourselves that same question. We need to have a heart for the things of God. Because when we have a heart for the things of God, then everything else gets fixed. So I want to challenge us this morning, amen, about oversight. Oversight. Oversight of everything that's in your care. Be aware of what's in your care. Because, you see, don't have a casual observance about it. Amen. So we move from oversight to observance. And maybe I'll explain it when the Spirit leads me. You see, if you're not careful, you just see stuff and not realize that it's a test. God blessed David, and the ark was outside under a tent. Now, you could have said, well, that's nothing wrong with that. But you don't, if you're not careful, you just observe it, but you don't recognize that it's in your sight for a reason. David was overseeing the blessings, his blessings. Now, David got a dynasty. David was a type of Christ. David would have a throne. How long? Forever. Forever, that's a long. How did he get it? By recognizing that he did not overlook an opportunity that was right there under his nose. Solomon could have overlooked himself, overlooked God, and just said, Lord, I don't want to be worried about wisdom and how to lead your people. God said, Solomon, I know you got some enemies. Don't you want me to get rid of your enemies? He said, I'm not worried about my enemies. I'm worried about you, Lord. I'm not a perfect person. Solomon had 1,000 women, and he had 300 and 700 concubines, 700 wives and 300 concubines. He was not but the truth of the matter is that he had a heart for the things of God came first. And if you're not careful, you will overlook casually an opportunity. And I'm going to tell you what it really is. It's really a problem that's pregnant. We overlook that. That's what he gave it. That's why he gave it to me. A pregnant problem. The problems God allow us to go through are pregnant. And if we handle them right and put him first, you will see that the problem is pregnant with a blessing for you. I wish I could trumpet this the way. Shout pregnant problems. Now, it looked like it's a problem, but it's really an opportunity with possibilities. It's all kind of possibilities in our problems. And the only way you can get them is to have a heart for the things of God. If I have a heart, you see, because life will make you tell off on yourself. As you go through life, if you study folks' lives, you find out what they're really concerned about and what they really care about. But what we found out this morning is that God is telling us that I have put a blessing right up under your nose. And if you handle that problem right, you're going to find out that you're going to end up getting blessed.